Did you guys read Angela's article, and are you ready to discuss it? If you didn't read
There's
article,
two answers.
Huh?
Two answers to that question, yes and yes.
Well, then just start discussing it. Is there a reality or is there not?
There is no external, and using the term that this Dr. Hoffman uses, there's no public reality.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that there is just a whole bunch of data. I won't even say information. There's just a whole bunch of data that each of us takes in through our perception mechanisms, and we form images and a reality in the main sense organ called the brain, and we say that's reality. But out there, there is nothing out there that's already formed and everything else. And I agree
Where
with what
did the
Dr.
data come
Hoffman
from?
Was saying, that reality is very personal and distinct to the individual, and it's the experience of the individual.
If there's no reality, where did the data come from?
That's a good question. What I mean then is saying is that there's data out there, but there is no objective reality of physical things that pre-exist.
Who said?
For us to be able to say, well,
why can't the data? I'm sitting here looking at a tree, palm tree. Why can't the data just be in the form of a palm tree?
Well, it can be, but I think that very much that what I see as a palm tree and what you see as a palm tree will be different.
That doesn't make any difference.
That your palm tree will be based on
But
your
then there we're seeing a palm
memory.
Tree.
I guess in that context, yes, there is a palm tree out there, or we agree there's a palm tree out there.
Well, good for us.
But if he doesn't see the palm tree...
If what?
Patrick, why do you agree there's a palm tree if you can't see it? Isn't it dependent on the observer? I mean, like, is there a palm tree there if you don't
see it?
Just because
you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
But that's like, it sounds like the same question we asked a couple weeks ago, that if the tree fell, or if you didn't see it, did it happen?
No, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make any sound? Yeah.
If nobody's there.
If nobody's there, is there any sound?
But she's speaking of an advancement of that. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody is there, does the tree really fall? You say there's no tree, so it obviously doesn't fall.
Yeah, this is one of those discussions that's been going around for centuries.
Well, what choice do we have?
Well, as I understood it, according to Hoffman, the quantum physics seems to show that there are probabilities that we collapse into things. But there's, like, I guess Patrick was saying, there's no actual things out there available to everybody waiting to be discovered. I don't know if I understand that or agree with that, but that's what he says the data shows.
Schrodinger's cat in the box didn't say there was no cat in the box. The question was whether the cat was alive or dead.
Understood. I thought from something he said in the article about, I'd have to go quote it real quick. Maybe I should do that.
Then what is it? What can we deal with?
Well, you know, I mean, and part of this is that I have to say, where did it go? apps. Don't have it. I must be remembering the wrong word. Part of what he said was that, I mean, part of what I was thinking about when in thinking about this article is, yeah, okay, so we talk about quantum physics and all the great discoveries we've made, but that's a product of, you know, our own systems that we've created too. Just because it says that might not even be a picture of what's going on in the universe.
They discovered quantum properties.
So we have
of water.
Ken and, and Jennifer at this end.
Andrew, I read.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's what it was. Sorry. So what he was saying was that neuroscientists are saying we don't need to invoke quantum physics processes. We don't need quantum wave functions collapsing inside neurons. We can just use classic physics to describe the processes in the brain. And this author was disagreeing with that, saying that they're like, what, 300 years behind in their understanding of what's going on.
On which page are you?
Well, I got the printed copy, so that's like the last page.
Okay.
Second to last thing that he says.
Yeah.
She may have a
so anyway, that's why I said, is there a reality? Well, it sounds like, according to this, there are...
Well, if I look out here and see a palm tree and finally I get Andrew to say there is a palm tree there, too, now, can we argue about the color?
Next. Yeah, sure.
Science says there is no color. It's all black and white and shades of gray.
Science says that? I thought science says there's wave frequencies that appear as different colors.
Is that the plant?
Yeah, I know what Roger's referring
gives
to.
Gives off waves which we convert to color. But that reality out there is only black and white and gray. What if that's true of everything? It's not this or that, but it's something else. What we're talking about in all things is a third option.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that there are no dualities, there's only a third option? There's no
that
this
third
or
option
that.
Is not a defined thing. If I understand what you just said, that's not like a third option, that, to borrow the words, floating out there in space or anything. It's a third option is a... What, like a non-thing? It's what you put into it.
No, it's a different thing. You see one shade of green, I see another shade of green, and actually it's gray. So it's not your shade or my shade. It's neither one of them.
Yeah.
It's something else.
So we're saying that it's, are you saying it is objectively gray? As a fact?
What if that's true of all things, all dualities that we set up?
Of all dualities we set up, it's something else. Okay. And the things that we have as dualities, they might have nothing to do with anything to do with those.
That's right.
Okay.
What if?
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting, worthwhile consideration. I mean, we base so much of everything on what we think is happening, and we don't think anything else.
Why don't you introduce this third option there, Andrew?
Well, okay. Well, the third option is a, for most people, that's a phrase that I think that we've used around
for these people who haven't been here for a while.
They have no idea what it means, most people, I think. It's just a placeholder, or at worst, it's a pronoun or a catchphrase. But so where this got started was back in 1999. So anyway, just as referring back to the guy that friend of mine in Honolulu, I read his last parting letter a couple weeks ago. Let me see. His name's Patrick. And I'd like to say, oh, Patrick, and he was from Canada. Well, Patrick, on our phone call's from Canada, too. So I'll just have to say Patrick from Hawaii to just keep this clear. Patrick in Hawaii was my friend. I met him in 1997 at a get-together, a party, and we had a lot of interesting, we had a lot of common interest. So we hit it off pretty well. Talking science and spirituality and all that kind of stuff that I talked about back then. And anyway, he said, okay, so I'm thinking I got this guy on the Big Island who does, all kind of stuff, including past life readings. Thinking about bringing him over to do a get-together sometime. You'd be interested. He said, sure. So that's 1997. 2 years later, I called him up and said, hey, we got this workshop going on purpose. You want to come over? And he said, yeah, sure. He was down for that. So he did. He attended. And part of that this evening, that weekend, was like a Thursday to Sunday. And during the evenings, there were like group meetings, and we would all talk. And then in the days, there were these readings. So this guy, Patrick, got a reading. And basically, I'm going to summarize the reading for you because this is where the whole third option thing comes from. Basically, there was an intro to the reading, and that, like an incipit, it basically laid out the whole thing it wasn't a part of a past life, but basically it said that, in the beginning, there seems to be resistance, and things are resistant to change, and that you got to understand, everything that's said in the reading is an illustration of this guy. So things are resistant to change. Well, he's also reluctant in that regard to change himself or create himself anew. And that's all okay, the reading talks about, but until you, as long as things are working for you, but then if things aren't really working for you, you might want to consider to change. And, like most of us, he says, well, certainly I do that. But the way that he does change, probably the way that most of us do change, is like we're driving along in one direction in a vehicle, and then we turn. Okay, I got to change. We turn left or right or the other all the way around, and then we start driving in a different direction. So you're driving in a different direction, but very little has changed, right? You're still the same vehicle. You're still driving on the road. You're still a person, et cetera. So then the reading offered that might he consider that getting into a whole other vehicle, a whole other goal, a whole other way of doing life would be a way to really make meaningful change in his life. And a change of direction, of course, that's really not a change. So it talked about how he's done these kinds of things for a long, long time. And to illustrate, it talked about his life as a senator in Rome way back when. And I don't know what the year was, but basically it was a time of revolution in the provinces. And he was a senator, like I say, he had bought his position. Senators at the time, they bought their way into the Senate by wealth and power and what they had and what they owned. Well, he had done that, but then he lost it all in whatever time period this was. He had businesses that were in the outer provinces, then as the revolt started happening and the army started revolting and they weren't defending anything, his outer province, holdings, his businesses were lost. And that was okay. That was kind of far out, and he was still safe. But as they became closer to Rome, closer and closer to himself, then those provinces or whatever business holdings that were destroyed or taken up in the revolutions got very more personal. And it got to the point where then his very position as a senator was threatened. Because basically back then, for him, he'd come to think that a man's, good works really had no benefit. It was really how much power and influence you held. So anyway, the more power and influence you have, then, the more prestigious you are. So he decided then basically that he needed to protect all that. And then, the reading takes a break here. And I'm not just saying this, this is stuff that we all go through. This is probably applicable to every single one of us on the phone. like if you think of the beliefs as the provinces out there as like your beliefs. If the beliefs, there are beliefs here and there, they're not really very close to you, then fine, you know, here or there people can attack them or they don't work and it doesn't matter. But the closer and closer those things come to you, then there's a tendency to fight and defend much more vigorously, which is what he did. As it got to being where his position as a senator was threatened and people started losing respect for him and started disregarding him, then that was a great loss for him. So the interesting thing is, you know, as we talked to this guy about his reading, we never really got past this point. It's interesting because when we started talking about that every moment, like in the beginning, things are resistant to change, well, every moment's a new beginning. So he's always in struggle. He didn't want to deal with that. A reluctance to create yourself anew. He didn't want to deal with that. So he really never got past talking about this point because he just shut down. He wouldn't consider anything other than what he thought. Anyway, so at this point, the reading kind of took an important turn because basically he was trying to be secured in his businesses as they were. But there was an interesting idea that was offered that he was trying to secure everything in his life, his beliefs as they were, rather than through advancement or enhancements so that they could become more suitable for what he really wanted in his life. But since he didn't want to change anything, he struggled against the losses, and then he was overwhelmed. And there's anything in our lives like reality or beliefs or about life and death, spiritual and physical, that meet this duality pattern? Anyway, it goes on to talk about the hang on a second here. I'd taken just a few notes. Obviously he still does this today about defending or don't defending. And part of that, the important thing about that was that struggles like this only occur in our lives because basically we set up few options for ourselves and few opportunities. And so when you stick into an old pattern of this or that, or defend or don't defend, or right or wrong, or good or bad, then you end up with, you know, being stuck in these harsh dualities with, it's a no-win situation. That's where the stuck and the struggle comes from. But anyway, you want to talk about anything, Roger?
It seemed to me that in that lifetime he essentially committed suicide. And in this lifetime, he jumped off a tall building. Same thing.
Right. Right. Because, you know, really, and if anybody remembers the letter that I read you last week, he got to a point where he said, you know, this is the only option I feel I have left. I have no options left in life. It was just so ironic because options and creating options was like the whole heart and soul of his life. I mean, this was the whole, like, thing that the reading told him was, in a sense, the great, you know, answer that he was looking for. And then he just got to a point where it was either spiritual or physical, life or death, and he just didn't want to change anything. He didn't want to expand his beliefs. So he killed himself. Mm-hmm. But he killed himself, please, and this was the important thing. He killed himself so that he could go, as he said in his letter, to a place of all light and love. Because he was absolutely convinced that beyond the body was a place of all light and love. So, you know, even in that, it's like he didn't want to die. None of us want to die. We all want, if we do die or kill ourselves, we're trying to go to, we want more life, but a certain kind of life, or life in a certain way. Anyway,
speaking of that,
it does go on to talk, yep.
Speaking of that, let me add to it. Earlier this week, I had a dream, right? I had a dream that at 12 years old, my father came home with an elephant from the Department of Agriculture where he worked. And so I raised an elephant in the backyard. Now, if you consider that, the dream never went away. I memoried that dream and memoried taking the elephant to school for show and tell, and all sorts of events and occurrences with that elephant until we moved away from that house. my backyard was not very conducive for raising an elephant, but we had an elephant and raised an elephant in the backyard.
In the dream, or you really did?
In the dream, which I then memoried that
dream. What do you
mean
you memoried it?
Kept it going. Now, if that's true, I mean, I did that, then can you not imagine then or see that I lived 85 years without an elephant in the backyard? I had the dream and the memory just a couple of days ago. So I lived 85 years without an elephant in the backyard, and I lived 73 years with an elephant in the backyard. I'm trying to get you to get your mind into a different view of time. You don't live by clock time, you live by memory time.
Right, I see that.
Okay,
So when I have said in the past, create a past that you truly desire and live that, then you can understand that in creating a past of teaching in the Parthenon in Athens, then in that we can say, I've lived in this lifetime more than 2,500 years in memory time. Just like in the fact the Bible says Methuselah lived 969 years. And Spalding, in his volumes of books called The Life and Teaching of Masters of the Far East, talks about masters who lived 200, 400, 600 years. Is that clock time or is that memory time? And so the question is, are you willing to create, that's a third option, instead of worried about creating what your future is, would you not create the past that you truly desire and let the future take care of itself? Would you be willing to live those kind of years? And if you did, would that not be essentially eternal? Eternal does not, if you live 900 years like Methuselah, would that not essentially be eternal, all things considered? That's a third option to living by clock time and devoting yourself only to clock time.
I relate to what you're saying.
What's important is, Roger, that's true anyway. That's what's going on. Because like we say, if the tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? No, it doesn't make a sound. We can argue, does it make a sound or does it not make a sound? It makes waves, and you make it sound, you sound the tree. That's the third option. All things in life are presented as a third option.
So what is the wave, Roger? Is it a is that what you would call reality, or without what you put into it, then even the wave is not reality?
Well, what we do is we argue reality about whether it makes a sound or not. When in fact, that's not reality. What it does is makes a wave. But we're arguing, Ken and I would be arguing whether it makes a sound or not.
Right.
He would say, yes, so it makes a sound, and I would say, no, it doesn't make a sound. And then we're arguing a fixed reality or no fixed reality. Buddha said there is no fixed reality. And you started off saying no fixed reality. But what if there is a fixed reality, but it's presented in a third option way?
Yeah, that makes much more sense.
So that we don't understand it because we maintain our reality in a duality, this or that. So we don't see the third option. We don't live the third option. We don't even know it exists. We're always struggling against this and that, this or that. Like good and evil.
Can you give me like an example, like in your day today, where you might have seen a third option?
Where what?
Where you saw a third option, what was presented as a third option and how you saw that?
Well, let's take the third option to be like option versus alternatives. Patrick, do you want to discuss option versus alternatives? Karen? Anybody over there?
Yep, we're here.
You want to discuss alternatives versus options?
Alternatives are just a different way of doing what I'm trying to do, and it's...
But can you use that to illustrate what Jennifer's asking? She's asking for a big illustration.
Okay, let's see.
Do you want to ask the question again?
Yeah, so Roger just said all things in life are presented as a third option, and I'm wondering what does that look like in a
day? Well, most cases we have no idea what that third option is. So I've listed it as abiding, which is just a placeholder name, until we discover. What is the third option between good and evil? Well, part of that is, you know, I developed a thing saying make all choices relative to whether you would be willing to live those choices and act upon them eternally and have that done to you eternally. You make do that. That's the third option, rather than deciding whether it's what's good and evil or right and wrong. So right and wrong and good and evil never enter the question. It's whether you'd be willing to do it eternally and have it done unto you eternally. That's where it started from. Because the struggle between right or wrong or good and evil is an endless struggle, useless discussion.
Okay.
So what all I've done is say there's a third option for everything, and we'll call that abiding right now as a placeholder name just to remind us and put that on hold until gradually, one at a time, we can disassemble the dualities and reassemble and understand the third option. Instead of this color or that color, it's shades of gray. It's waves in shades of gray. Instead of sound or no sound, it is waves in place of sound and in place of no sound. It's a third option. Mm-hmm. And in all things, this is true. There's always a third option.
Right. I find your... The forever living process of testing choices is a tool for having a direct perception of a third option in each choice.
So I would say yes, there's a reality out there, but we don't see it and know it the way it is because we're so busy with our language view of things. And we're creating a duality and arguing then over the duality. We're not arguing over reality.
Oh, we're arguing the language of things?
We language everything to be into a duality.
Okay, well, I could go on with just a little bit more about the reading and how the third option came to be.
Well, the reading is important, only that it was from that reading of Patrick's that we came into discussing and discovering the third option. But then here he is in this lifetime not taking a third, not even considering a third option. It's either life or death, so he jumps off a building.
Right. But how he came to the third option was that is in all these different situations and permutations of struggling to defend or feeling like if he put himself into something or if he gave or invested something, it would be taken from him, so he has to defend it or just give it all up.
Now you're arguing the particulars of it, and I don't disagree with that. The problem is just the idea. He wouldn't give himself an alternative.
Oh, okay, right.
And that's what we all do. We think that everything is based on a duality of this or that, or this or and not this. No matter what it is, we language it into a duality. Well, anyway, got to get the hell out of that. So when I use the word abiding, that's what I'm talking about. Not any of the dualities. It's always a third option. You are not mortal or immortal. You are immortal.
Oh, appearing as
you
mortal,
are
yeah?
Abiding.
Right, but if I understood the immortal word, that means to have the appearance of being mortal?
Yeah, but you're not.
No, right. But that's what I actually, kind of one of the things I thought about the article that Angela sent was kind of cool. It's not said in the article, but afterwards I was thinking how he had talked about, like, the computer terminal. I mean, sorry, the computer interface. And that you don't see a document on your computer as it is, which is all these circuits and wires and electrical currents running through it. You actually have this interface that interprets or presents the all that data and information a certain way. And, you know, you couldn't deal with all the as it is anyway. You just need to see the parts that you need or want to see. Well, anyway, the thing that got me thinking about that after I read the article was, you know, what all that might say about death. If that's the way life is, then is there really a person and a body that dies? Yeah, and he even goes into talking about, if you separate the brain, there's like, if you cut the brain in half, there seems to be two different
entities.
Which
is each person
running
a search
person.
Engine, looking for the third option.
Yeah. Well, what I got just thinking is, so the life and death thing, and I think if I'm a body and I'm going to die, I don't like that, so I put a spirituality belief into my life just because that's my ticket out of what I think is dying, even though I don't know what spiritual is. And like you said last week, if I think I'm a spiritual being, I'm screwed because I don't know what that is. I don't do anything about it. But anyway, just thinking that then if this is just an appearance that I need to live, then when I die, it's just the appearance, like the screen has disappeared, but nothing else has. Still there. I just don't perceive
it. And you're living that duality regardless. If you think
which duality?
Any duality. Oh,
physical? Oh, okay.
If you think your body dies, but you don't, you continue, then you're living the physical, spiritual duality, and you're trapped in that struggle.
Okay, so and then what we're talking about is that I am not a spiritual or physical being, if I want to put that on the duality model. That the third option is that what I am is something entirely else.
Okay. The question is, are you willing to discover what else you are?
Yes.
That's what the Imagination Center is all about. That's what.
Well, then it seems, Roger, that importantly so, the whatever you're calling it, Imagination Center or Emergent Life Center, needs to. It seems like it should. It seems important to present any information in a way that's not going to fall into the traditional ways of looking at.
We present it in a way that we don't give you time or opportunity to think. If you don't think, you wouldn't language it into a duality.
Okay.
Therefore, you experience yourself as an abiding being.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the gathering is all about, reading the book and discussing it point by point as you go along.
Okay.
So, these two sitting across the table from me were the ones that started all this. When are we going to get somebody to get involved? Well, okay, we're ready. We set up a gathering, and then they didn't even show up.
You set it up when we weren't here.
Hmm?
You set it up when we weren't here. That's not our fault.
You missed it all. This gathering is set up to be the first gathering of the Emergent Life Center.
And when is that?
Huh?
And when is that?
The last week of July, first week of August. Now, the only thing that's going to be different about it is that Saturday, instead of being the first day of the gathering, is the first work day. It's impossible for me to get a week's work in out there and get it all set up. So it won't be set up when you get here. We all have to set it up on Saturday.
Set what?
We all tear it down on Sunday.
Oh.
So those 2 days will be work days.
What are we setting up?
What?
Setting what up?
Setting what up? Did you come to the gathering and see who? How the hell do you think all those carpets and all
the
setup
and pillows and everything?
And everything been out there, the chairs and everything else.
I know you put a lot of work into those. We'll help you.
Well, that's what they agreed on when you weren't here last week, last week. The third option was have a gathering or no gathering. In this case, it was going to have no gathering, or we have to look for a third option. That's an example. We took the first day to set it up and the last day to tear it down. Don't leave it for me. I'm in no physical shape to do all that shit. I'm not even too sure I'm in shape to put up with it in between Monday through the next Saturday. We'll see. But in any case, I don't get to pig out on cookies and ice cream.
Oh.
They're not on my diet.
Maybe there's a third option for that, too. We'll find some cookies you can.
Yeah, we'll see. Not right now, there's not.
Gluten-free cookies.
So anyway, if you're going to come to the gathering, and we'll set out a bulletin here pretty soon, you got to let us know. So we know what's going to be around the house and how much room we need and what's going to happen. And we'll start by reading the book and discussing it line by line. So you guys can't hide in the black box any longer. You have to come out in the open.
Good.
Well, I'm still interested in what's the difference between alternatives and an option.
Well, I think an alternative is a way to get something done, to reach a certain outcome. I think an option is saying, okay, now that I, you know, can do that, or I know I can do that, what would I like to do? How would I like to... What would I like to put into my life?
Don't you realize that when you set your alternatives the way you did, you had no alternative? You didn't give yourself an alternative for setting an option.
I have to admit, I've never been very clear on this difference. I mean, I certainly remember you discussing with Patrick, like if you have a client who brings a, you know, brings a project, and Patrick has to... Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. So anyway, as if the client wants something done, Patrick has, you know, ways of getting that to that outcome for the client. I thought that was an alternative.
I would say that if you're going to get into particulars like this, that instead of generalities, if you get into particulars, you can't say anything that doesn't keep you in struggle. You can't even discuss third options, because the only thing you'll say is based on the duality language, and you'll only speak dualities.
Okay, hang on a second though. But to put into my life, there will be specifics, right?
You can't speak about it in terms of particulars in your life without being using language. And in using language, you can't get out of duality.
Okay.
You can't think yourself out of thinking.
Andrew?
Yep.
Do you have a firm enough handle on what Roger just told you to repeat it? Because we accidentally hit the off button here and kicked ourselves offline. We just came back on.
So you were the
guy. Oh, he was saying that if I'm going to talk particulars about alternatives and options, I really can't do it because I'll put it into a duality language. So I was asking how putting into my life is a particular, but he's saying that I'll only talk about it in dualities and screw it up.
Come on, you guys. Get involved. You need to practice for the gathering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at somebody that I... right now in the eyeball. Get involved. Don't bitch because other people don't get involved. You get bitchy. Involved.
Who besides me bitches that other people don't get involved?
Ken Gilkowski.
Really? I figured you were just talking about me.
I don't know where he is. Ted's here tonight.
He's Ted here.
Oh, okay.
Ted's here tonight. Ken, I don't know where he...
Yeah, but
He's not getting involved.
You don't have to agree.
I'm not agreeing. I was squirming.
That applies to you too, Jennifer.
Okay. I'm still not clear on the...
Well, I imagine difference. People aren't speaking up because they don't really understand the difference between alternatives and options.
Yeah,
or even
I'm
how
still
to
not clear, but
talk
Patrick
about
was going to explain it, and he never did.
Really?
No, I've based on what was that Andrew just repeated
just,
for me, I don't understand it either. It sounds like...
Just use options as being synonym for alternatives and explain it that way.
Did you just say consider options as a synonym for alternatives?
Yes. And then explain it that
way. Well, isn't that completely asked backwards?
No.
I thought that if I took from previous conversations that anything that I've ever considered an option in the past has really been an alternative.
I know.
And I don't understand what options are.
Now I'm freeing you up and saying consider it an alternative. And then you can discuss third options. You're trying
well,
to
Well, I think the pattern that Andrew was speaking about and I would have talked about is that in living in my duality world, I'm likely only going to be thinking about success, failure, good, bad, that kind of thing. And so if I set myself up with alternatives to the actions that I'm considering or the outcomes that I'm considering,
isn't there...
then I can free my mind to see if I can drop out of that yes, no, good, bad pattern and free my mind to...
Yeah, but I'm trying to free up your language. Isn't there an alternative to, or a third option to success and failure?
Yeah, it's living as I desire.
Well then, see how easy that was? Living as you desire is like a third option. And living as you truly desire is abiding. That's what abiding is all about. And it has nothing to do with success, failure. And you got there because I freed up your language. I allowed you to... But you were gonna, if you were afraid to speak up because you'd mix up alternatives and options, you'd never get there.
That's right. And thank you very much for that. That's very clear now.
So, Roger, are you saying it, so this, okay, let me see if I got this. So it could be something that I
there's an
don't
abiding,
want to do.
There's an abiding third option for everything. It's never this
right.
or that, success or failure.
But in that regard, then, it sounds like it doesn't matter what choice I make. It's the who that's living it that is...
Does it make any choice?
It does make a difference, I think.
Does it make any difference? If you're living as you truly desire, does it matter whether you succeed or not? Whether you make $1 million or not?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because usually the success or failure is what
that's
I...
That's pretty doubtful.
Well, yeah, what?
You said that pretty
he
doubtful.
He sounded doubtful, right?
What?
Didn't Andrew sound a little bit doubtful?
No, he sounded doubtful up to the eyeballs.
Oh.
Just a little bit.
Drowning it.
You should have lived my life, been around my life, and all my friends were multimillionaires, and I can list them, the ones that died or killed themselves, because they were living what was supposed to be, not what they desired. They wouldn't say so if you asked them. They would say, no, I'm living as I desire. No, they didn't either. They were living what they thought was supposed to be success, and it didn't change their life. They didn't feel success. They didn't feel it that way. That's the death of third option. In terms of success, failure, live as you truly desire. And the key word there is truly. I've been questioned about...
Because most people think live as you truly desire means do what you truly desire to do.
That's okay.
Really?
But the key word still is truly.
Truly, yes.
I'm just... Here's my question. Did any of those millionaire guys that you used to know or whatever, did they think that they truly desired to be rich and powerful and whatever they were doing?
I don't think so.
I think they thought they would.
They thought that.
That's what I'm saying. So if you ask them to do that.
That's what they thought they desired. And they thought that they desired that because that would give them the life that they truly desired. And it didn't. So therefore they took the death they truly desired. Well, this is an important image and part of the Emergent Life Center, so you better think on it or get involved and wrestle around with the question.
Which question?
Yeah.
The third option of success and failure.
Mm. Or what does it truly mean to be your own authority?
What
does it truly mean to be your own authority? Because if you're living success and failure, you're taking somebody else's idea of
not necessarily. That's presumption. Why can't I take my own idea of success and failure? Why can't I set my own goals of success and failure?
Well, then wouldn't you be living as you truly desired?
Not necessarily.
Explain.
Huh?
Explain. If you created your own parameters of what success and failure were, and you lived only by those, you're saying that that may not be what you truly desire?
I could set success as having $1 million in the bank.
Well, if that's what you truly desire.
No, you're now adding truly desire.
You didn't have truly desire in it a second ago.
We were talking about whether it was
my... Well, I said if you're the one that sets your parameters of success and failure.
Yeah, but what you think is successful may not be what truly is successful.
But I think it's going to be... And I have $1 million in the bank, and I knew a lot of millionaires who I had a bigger financial statement than they had.
Mine's bigger than yours. But what they're getting is truly successful relative to loaner body, and that's a different thing. And that's the dilemma that a lot of people get into, thinking that they're living as they truly desire. But relative to what?
Yeah, this really reminds me of that. I think this came up in the 2012 gathering. But if you lived on a desert island or something, the only vehicle you ever saw, ever exposed to, was a World War II Jeep. If somebody asked you if you wanted a car, you'd say, "Oh hell yeah, I want to." You know, you'd describe a World War II Jeep without any knowledge of other options, you know, or other things that have come along. So if people ask most people for their idea of success, I think they're just describing what they see or think.
That's why I said I never give a client what he wants.
Right?
Because he knows his knowing is very limited. Well, the whole gathering is about abiding beings, so you better think very much about this third option and abidingness.
So alternatives are only concerning the short view, and options are concerning the long view?
Not really.
Not really?
No.
Can you explain it?
Yeah, but you've got it all twisted up, and you've already... put it into a duality, and now you're asking me to get it out of that duality. You put the duality into everybody's mind.
Could you explain how she did that?
Long view, short view. She said she created the duality right there. One is this, not that, and the other one is that, not this.
So loner and abiding are the same, though?
No.
Somebody help her out.
You?
I don't know how to, I don't know. I'm still not clear either.
Your choice with loner is mortal or immortal. Alive or dead, abiding is a different state. It's like a plasma. It's an entirely different state of being. Well, I got a frown out of Jennifer with that one.
I'm thinking. Trying to image that.
That's the point, you see. You're not willing to consider abiding as an entirely different state of being.
Oh, I am. Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Like what?
It's neither physical nor spiritual. It's plasma.
Hmm.
I had a long thinks the other night when I was going to bed about light. Can you think of, I don't know whether I could even bring it up, if I can imagine it, that the speed of light is more the speed of light than it's than to say it is something that speeds at light speed. It is light speed. It is something entirely different.
What is?
Light is speed itself, the movement itself.
Hmm.
I'll catch hell from Jim with that one.
Light is the speed.
Oh, you're saying...
What?
Light isn't a particle traveling at a speed of what we call a speed of light.
It is
speed itself.
Yes. Then light becomes something entirely different.
But can you say that about everything when it's moving?
Well, if we said that about everything, then everything would be abiding, or a third option, wouldn't it? Nothing would be itself.
Hmm.
And what if that's true? Everything is something else. If everything is something else, then what we think is reality is not reality. But there is a reality that we don't know of, because we haven't defined it. So I've just called that reality abiding, so as a placeholder name, so gradually, one at a time, we'll be able to define that reality, to see that and talk about it.
The plasma.
Huh?
The plasma.
One what at a time? One discovery at a time?
The
one.
Duality, any dualities.
Oh, okay.
We can break down the dualities. And speak only in terms of abiding, we know that we're not talking about any of the dualities. That when you talk of a duality, that's not what we're talking about.
Hmm.
It's something else. But you will limit your conversation to dualities.
Right. So does it matter what, how we break it down?
You what?
Does it matter how we break down the duality?
Probably not.
Okay, so I'll have a suggestion. I think I've been thinking about this. So anyway, in the guy's reading I was talking about for that started the third option, it was basically it said at a certain point, it's not whether you want, you know, fight or flight, you know, or whatever. It's what is it that's underneath these two choices that you really want? So if I take any duality and look at underneath the two choices or seeming choices, the duality that I've set up, what is it that I really want? Does that begin to give me something to consider?
Sure.
So like last week you were talking about if you think you're a spiritual being, you're screwed. I can't exactly. You're welcome to, you know, flesh that out. I don't remember exactly how you said
that's
it. That's
fine
a
for
duality
you.
That we. What's that?
That's fine for you, but what about a tree?
Wait a minute. What are we? Sorry, back me up. I missed a step.
You're saying that the
is
environment then, or the reality, is what you desire. But can a tree desire?
Well, I'm not sure a tree sets up a duality.
Doesn't make any difference.
Can it design?
Like, does a tree have its own reality?
Hmm?
Does a tree?
Yeah, I think a tree does. A tree grows. I'm not saying what this reality is, but if you observe a tree.
If you're going to base reality based entirely upon what you as a sentient being desire,
mm-hmm.
then what do you do with a tree?
That's a good question.
Does a tree have a reality?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You wanted to set that up as a general overall view for sentient beings. Okay, fine.
I was just looking at things that we language. I wasn't looking at things like in their form as they are.
Well, he just made a good point, though, that a lot of our problems and dualities comes from our language, and a tree doesn't have a language.
Doesn't matter whether it comes from our language, what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, in our case, since if it's our language,
okay,
we're working on
but
changing
we started
language.
This discussion,
or...
is there a reality out there? And what you're then saying is there's a reality for sentient beings, but there is no reality for non-sentient.
No, wait. I want to clarify what I was just saying. I realized from what you said. So, right, language always worked fine when it was a tiger in the jungle. Those are self-sufficient.
Don't limit it
to
language.
I know, hang on a second.
I'm discussing truly desire.
Well, wait. Then what does truly desire have to do with a tree?
That's what I'm saying. If you're setting reality based on as I truly desire as a sentient being, what about a reality for a tree?
Okay, then I mixed up the terms. I didn't realize that's where you were. I was talking about things that we are intangible, things that are not, things that we language into, like things that we don't have, like so wanting and not wanting, fighting and flighting, those kind of things that we start language struggles.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But the discussion
is... So that's
is,
all I was talking about.
But we're discussing the article that Angela put up. Is there a reality? The case against reality.
Okay,
then is there a reality or is there not a reality?
I guess my personal opinion, yeah, there's a reality. Sure. It's where all these things come from.
Well...
It's
Hold
the material that I interact with it's the material that I react with, but I guess it reveals the awareness that I'm living. And even if I interact with the reality of the thing itself, according to the article, the only thing I experience is my perception or the interaction that I've created that I need from that. That's all.
The perception or interpretation of it.
Yeah, it was like, did you read the article, Jennifer?
No.
Yeah, all he was saying was, you know, the computer is like wires and electrical currents, but really all you interact with is a blue box on your desktop screen that you click and it opens a document. That's really all you need to know.
Then I don't have to know how the universe works either.
No, in fact, he was saying that. And he was saying that anybody who sees life as it is and interacts with it is actually less suitable or has a less survivability or something, I can remember how you call it, than beings who just see what they need and deal with what they need.
We have Ms. M here. It's come in to enter the conversation.
What do you mean, no?
She just came in to put her shirt on.
Yes, I've been
not
running around
without
it. Not that
she was topless.
She's not going to get it.
Honestly, Roger, I don't... I'm not sure... third option applies to
well, Buddha,
questions like
Buddha said no.
Universe and reality.
He no reality, no self. If there's no reality, then there's no self.
Well, there's no absolute reality, because every one of us views the computer screen differently.
Yeah, but on third option, there is an absolute reality.
Yeah.
But what people are living is not.
That's a different issue.
What? It's not reality.
It's not
a real
reality. Because they don't see what's going on behind the computer screen.
Well,
right.
I think that's what we're saying. Yeah, so I think that's what we've been saying. That's what I understood.
You do look pregnant.
Shut up!
He said that again, is he?
Is that a reality or not?
No.
Why do you keep smiling at that? Instead of frowning.
Because it's embarrassing.
Watch out, you're going to get beat up.
So are we saying, though, that there's a reality and then everybody's got their own interpretation of it?
I'm trying
That's
to figure
the big
it
question.
Out. But the reality is different than we think it is.
Yeah.
Or that we argue it is. It's something.
But if there is a real reality, doesn't that take away...
What?
If there is a real reality, doesn't that take away our free will?
No.
Mm-mm.
If the tree falls and only makes waves, not sound, then it doesn't take anything from me. I can make that sound anything I want.
Well, that's true. But then the question becomes, did the tree really fall?
Well,
yeah, then do I have to contend with the fact
too.
Of the falling
no, it
tree?
Doesn't fall.
Because it's only where I see it at any given moment.
That's right.
That's
hey, Raj, I think maybe a more, I don't know, a question I'm wondering is, you remember that example you gave, like Sherlock Holmes said something like, if the moon is out there and da-da-da doesn't make a dang to my life?
Sherlock Holmes essentially, said what?
Something to the effect of, if there's a moon's out there and it's doing this, that, and the other this many times around the earth, it doesn't affect my life at all.
Somehow or other, you're going to have to get that sentence put together so somebody can understand it.
Well, the point is, I guess I'm asking, okay, if I knew there's a reality out there, whatever, does that change my life? Does that make a difference in my life today?
If you make it a reality...
No, if he understands...
If there is a reality that I can't even perceive, does it make a difference in my life?
I still don't understand.
Well, I'm asking, why do you feel this is an important question? Maybe that, how's that? I'll word it that way.
Because we struggle with it. And most people give up and just struggle with the dualities. And say the universe
Roger, isn't it a duality to say universe is or is not? It exists or it doesn't exist.
Of course it is.
If that's a duality, then the third option isn't a reality that exists.
Thank you, Patrick.
But if we say it's abiding, that doesn't necessarily say it's one or the other.
Your point here a while ago is that one by one we can deconstruct the dualities and fill in more of what abiding actually is.
Well, do it then. One by one, do it.
He just did. We're sitting here arguing about whether there is a reality or there isn't, and Patrick just blew it all out of the water by saying, what's the third option?
I'm not arguing whether there is or is not a reality.
Well,
I'm just saying, is it this that we think it is, or is it that what we think it is? Or is it
Neither.
No thing. It's something. I'm just saying it's a something third.
And so are you looking to define the third?
Okay.
No, that's a yes or no.
That's the third option. Is that wrong?
No, I said, are we looking to define the third option?
In every duality, the answer I give is yes. And it would change your life entirely.
That's Jill.
Huh?
That was Jill.
What?
If you asked her a dualistic question, she would say yes.
I mean, I guess there's an interesting point to that, right? Because science, medicine, everything has spent all its resources trying to determine the reality. And if it's not something like the article said, which is what, like some public property out there that objectively can be discovered, if it's something else.
Well, I kind of disagree with you, and they're trying to discover what it is. They perform experiments, and if they get a particular result, then they capitalize on whatever that result is. They don't really have to understand why they got the result. They just want a consistent result, so then they can put it to work.
And then you walk down one duality or the other duality.
Well, Ken, it's a little bit like when I had these astrophysicists from the University of Hawaii over here in 2012, mm-hmm. had an evening with them. And while they'll say that the ultimate, aspiration for scientists is to have some breakthrough that just changes everybody's perception of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Having studied, and these guys were all specializing in the Big Bang or beginning of the universe,
yeah.
different aspects of it.
Theoretical.
They had made the presumption that there even was a beginning of the universe. And when we started the evening, the guy who was most deeply involved, invested in all this, he thought that the whole evening was that I was having him and his colleagues come over to meet with some friends of mine for us to ask questions about how the world really is, and they were going to tell us.
Hmm.
And he was very insistent on the fact that we pretty much know the way the universe really is, and there's a great book he could give me that would describe or explain it all to someone in terms that I could understand. And the point was, they got so invested in their experimental results. They saw a redshift, and everybody presumed that that means it's a Doppler effect like sound, so that means then therefore the universe is expanding. And since it is, now we've moved from if it is expanding to since it is expanding, they invest all their resources in pursuing that. And no one ever stops to consider maybe there it isn't expanding, or maybe even we're looking for a beginning that doesn't exist.
There's in fact many other reasons you could have a red shift.
Right, so they take on the premise of their results, but then they get stuck in it and they don't consider anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that they're testing and then moving the result, they're not testing anything else anymore. Or if they are, they haven't publicized
that. Same way with the Big Bang.
I am talking about that, yes.
I understand that the Large Hadron Collider
mm-hmm.
is found a new particle.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about today's headline.
What's today's headline?
They had to shut the whole thing down because an animal chewed through some wires.
Yeah.
Oh.
Those dirty rats. That's reality.
All this expensive, all this important scientific work comes to a halt because of an animal.
Well,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, but
what might that be saying about how they're living their life?
When I walked in, I thought you guys were talking about, I read earlier this week that they discovered a quantum property of water. They said that under certain conditions, water exhibits tunneling, which is a quantum property. And it's the first non-quantum level discovery of quantum activity. So I thought you guys had heard about that this week. because everybody talks, even in the scientific community, they say, yeah, well, quantum physics is great, but, you know, we don't live in that world. You know, it's only unique to a certain level of...
I'm trying to speak of these things as how they apply in your life.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying that they considered it a huge step in changing our perception of reality, in that something such as water exhibited quantum properties. This tunneling property that we talk about is that these two objects...
What is that tunneling...
It's that two objects, as I understand it, they act simultaneously, even though there's a great distance between them. And that defies... Pardon? And that defies physics, because if there's a distance between them, then there has to be a delay, an amount of time for the information to get from one to the other.
That's entanglement.
Yes. And so they describe it as tunneling, is that they have some sort of connection between the two of them that is beyond classical physics, that's beyond time and space and distance. So I guess they called it tunneling. So they discovered, under certain conditions, that water acts that way. That's all I know. I didn't read any more, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, the question is, we build our whole life on this or that, and you live it on this or that. And Patrick jumped off a building because of this or that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to discuss my life, a life of time, in that I'm 158 years old? 185 years?
158.
Huh?
How do you figure 158 again?
Mm-hmm.
How do you figure 158?
85 years without an elephant in the backyard, and 73 years with an elephant in the backyard.
So.
Oh, that's good. I like
73
that.
Is 73 years ago. You had that dream before.
So you're not denying one or the other.
No, I had the dream last week.
But he was a certain age in the dream when the elephant showed up.
So last week I was 85, but the elephant was at when I was 12 years old. So I've lived 73 years with an elephant in the backyard.
So because you were that age in the dream, that's why you say that you memoried the dream?
Not because. I memoried it. So whenever I've asked you guys to create a past, is what I'm trying to say, a past that you truly desired, it was to give you then the life you truly desire. You struggle to create the future you desire, but you don't have a past that supports that. And I'm suggesting that if you create the past you desire, then the future will take care of itself. And in my case, you have...
That's very interesting. So you're saying that there is a reality.
I'm saying you can create the reality you desire.
Right. So there is a reality that, I guess, supports your life. Oh, sorry, supports your being, but then your life is the reality that you create and live.
I'm suggesting that the reality you create is your past, not your future. And that if you do that...
Okay.
I see.
Yeah, everybody is struggling to create the future you want. But I'm saying, create the past you desire.
Oh, Well, that's very good and consistent, right? Because I'm usually struggling to kind of create the outcomes I want, i.e. the future I want.
That's right.
Oh, I see. So we were talking earlier about the difference between alternatives and options. And if an option was then not trying to create anything to do with an outcome, but choose to live the past I desire, that any choice I take, any alternative I move on is fine, but I'm living the past I desire. That's what I really desire anyway.
And then that will, since the universe always reacts to your actions,
mm-hmm.
you will have the future you desire. It'll be emergent. That's the nature.
Okay, right, right. So there's a there is a real universe that reacts, but what it reacts is largely it's completely up to me.
Okay.
Completely? Maybe that's too strong a word. But I'm getting the picture here that you're talking about. There's a reality that is emergent for
I'm
me.
I'm just discussing the goddamn thing.
Well, am I not?
What?
Am I not discussing it?
I'm not sure, but I'm not trying to do something.
You're not trying to do something. Okay.
I'm trying to give you the ability to do something in your life. Not say, reach a conclusion.
Okay.
Well, okay, I don't think we're going to get any participation anyway, so I might as well quit it. We can quit early tonight. It's too much chatter, too much talk, too much participation. I can't stand it all. So let's say goodnight for now.